Hi, and welcome to Math and Musings. I'm Mike O'Connell, creator of Math and Musings, and your host. Stay tuned for 15 minutes of science, politics, news, and opinion. In other words, Math and Musings. Today's date is Friday, May 19th, 2023. This is Season 3, Episode 20 of our show, and here's where I put in something unusual about the numbers of either the date or the episode. To me, the best thing I can put together is this. So today's date is 519, and when I hear 519, it makes me think of only one thing. This is such a random reference, kind of an obscure reference. There's an episode of Seinfeld in which Jerry and George are in California. They're riding in a police car of their own volition, not like they got picked up. They're riding in a police car, and the cop gets called to something that they only know is like a code 519. It's a 519. We got a 519 in progress. And while the cop is out of the car, Jerry and George look up to the front seat, and there's a box of Pepperidge Farm cookies. Like, fancy for a cop, right? You know, it's not just like the donut-eating cop. It's Pepperidge Farm cookies, Milano's, you know. Like, George is going to take one. And Jerry says, you know, you shouldn't. I think that's a 519. Like, is that when a 519 is stealing a cop's Milano cookie? That's what I think when I hear 519. And also, it allowed me to mention the show Seinfeld for the second week in a row. Last week, we talked about the final episode of Seinfeld. I referred to it as the 168th episode of Seinfeld. I don't know where I got 168 from. The number of episodes of Seinfeld is 180. It's 180. It was 9 seasons, 180 episodes. And no, it's not 20 per season. That's how it rounds out. It's not like they did 20 every season. And by the way, back when the show was on, we never talked about season 1, season 2. That all came later, strangely enough, when the seasons weren't following the school year. But anyway, the thing that it reminded me of, here's your next random reference, was 180. And if I just said 180, you figured like, oh, that's too round of a number. That can't possibly be right. And it reminded me of this story that this is at least mostly true, because like, who could ever deny it, that when the original people who were measuring the height of Mount Everest, Everest himself among them, like the guy, I think George, like Sir George Everest, you know, British mountaineer and, you know, scientist in the 1800s, measuring the height of Mount Everest. And they had figured at exactly 29,000 feet. This is the story I heard. It was exactly 29,000 feet. And they're going to announce the thing to the public, and that, you know, one of their PR guys, I guess, pipes up and says, you know, people are never going to believe you if you say it's exactly 29,000. They're going to think that you rounded it off. You should give a number, because who's going to check them on this? You should give a number that sounds a little bit more precise. So I think that's when they went with 29,002, like 29,002. And you're not supposed to put the "and" in there, although it sounds weird if you don't say it. And this is going to be your first Michael O'Connell Senior reference. Like, when my dad was growing up, he probably heard 29,002. When I was growing up, I had it as 29,028. I've heard 29,029, 29,035. The most common number I see is 29,032. Now, it really may be changing, or like depends on exactly how they measure it. It's around 29,000 feet, but I still remember that one from 150 years ago, that they had it exactly 29,000. It's like, well, no one's ever going to believe that. So make it a little bit different. Anyway, the numbers fascinate me, by the way. And this is all just a useless tease to get into the meat of today's show, which is celebrating the life and times of Michael O'Connell Sr. My dad's birthday was, I suppose still is, May 21st. My dad was born May 21st, 1942. And this will show you that I am a child of the 80s. The thing I always thought was cool about that, you know, like back when it was hard to look up celebrity birthdays, like you had to dig to find out like who has your birthday. It was pre-internet. That my dad shared a birthday with Mr. T, the actor, Mr. T, like Clubber Lang from Rocky III, and a million other things. Pity the Fool, that guy. And Mr. T was born May 21st, 1952. So he's exactly 10 years younger than my dad was. And then also the 1942 reference, again, this is child of the 80s. Also born in 1942, this July of 1942, actor Harrison Ford, who was old in the 80s and then still making movies now. Like, that was one of the hooks of Raiders of the Lost Ark, was that, like, Indiana Jones was over the hill. Here he is, or here we are, 40 years later, more than 40 years later, and we've got another Indiana Jones movie coming out in a few weeks. I've been excited about that one for almost, well, let's see, the last one came out in 08. So I've been excited about this for 15 years, and then 19 years prior to that. Anyway, thought it was cool. My dad shared a birth date with Mr. T and a birth year and season, I suppose, with actor Harrison Ford. Now, I said my dad was born in 1942. He's born in New York City. This is when Fiorella LaGuardia was mayor, like the guy of LaGuardia Airport fame. LaGuardia was mayor. It's LaGuardia's facsimile of his signature that appears on my dad's birth certificate. He was always fond of mentioning that. And born in Manhattan, his father actually worked at the Empire State Building, though in classic New York City fashion, like people who actually live there never go to the Empire State Building. Though my father's father, who will be profiled on next week's show because it's the anniversary of his birth, worked at the World Trade Center. My dad never went there. It's like me, I live, you know, 19 miles up the road from Washington, D.C., and I've never been to the White House. My son's never been to the White House. We've never been to the Capitol Building. We've never been to the Washington Monument. We've never been to any of those places, even though it's right down the street from us. Like, in classic, when you live in the city, you don't go to the city's attractions fashion. But I pegged it around 1950 or so. Like, my dad, he was not the record keeper that I was. And, like, when I asked him, like, well, when did you guys move to Binghamton? He said, I don't know. It's like, probably around 1950 or so. Or maybe he's just thinking, like, everyone else was moving to the suburbs and exurbs and upstate and beyond. Like, some people moved out to Long Island. Some people moved upstate. My dad's family, the O'Connells, they moved way upstate. They moved all the way up to Binghamton. And as I understand, bought a house on the south side where my dad lived for a while, south side of Binghamton, and then moved to the west side to when my dad was maybe 1956 or so. I think I eventually found a property record from like 1956. And I know that was the year that my dad went to West Junior. Now, I later went to that school. And by the way, the house they moved into on Bennett Ave, that was the house I moved into almost 50 years later. That's a story for another time. I lived at my grandmother's house, but not when she lived there. Anyway, my dad had gone to private schools, Catholic schools, until he went to what was then called West Junior High School for ninth grade, and then went to what was called Binghamton North High, which doesn't exist anymore. Not because he lived in the neighborhood, but because magnet school is calling it, it's overstating it a bit. If you wanted to be in this particular program, and my dad always called it the technical program. I was in the technical program at North High. Whatever that was, whatever high technology they were doing in 1961, whatever passed for technology in 1961, that's what my dad was involved with. Bunch of, you know, geeky guys with thick glasses and pocket protectors standing around taking measurements of, I don't know, mountains or some, figure out the real height of Mount Everest. And he graduated in 1961, as I said, from a high school that no longer exists. They consolidated high schools in Binghamton 20 years later. That's the place where they're closing schools down, even when I was a kid. And as opposed to the place where I live now, where we can't build it fast enough. And he went to work. And it's just so bizarre to me that, like, someone who's, you know, pretty smart from a, you know, middle-class family and is pretty well in school, like, wouldn't even go to college. It's just so baffling, and that wasn't unusual. This is so baffling to me. Like, somebody would just go to work. That makes sense. You turn 18, finish high school, go to work. And didn't go to college went to college a few years later, enrolled at what was then, I think, called Broom Tech. In my day, it was Broom Community College, where I started teaching in 2008. My father enrolled as a student there in 1963. Important to the story, because that fall 63, the classic question, like, where were you when Kennedy was shot? My dad says, Titchener Hall at Broom Community College. And my first teaching assignment, literally ever, my first day as a teacher, Titchener Hall, 45 years later. And I pieced together later that my dad was never open about this, but like, wait a minute, the reason he went to started going back to school in 1963, I think, was to get a student deferment from a military draft. Now, he was more open about the fact that, all right, 4 years after that, 2 years at Broome, 2 years at Cortland State, where he transferred to, he graduates in 1967 as a psychology major. And there were plenty of jobs for psych majors in 1967 in Vietnam. No gigs here. If you're going to be a psychologist, you were going to do so, let's just call it, overseas. It hurried his career into teaching and stuck with it. He taught at Windsor High School for 30 years. Went from psych major to English teacher. Like, hey, I majored in political science and I teach math. So, I don't know. He taught there for 30 years, 1967 to 1997, and then kept coaching. He was the tennis coach. As a matter of fact, he was boys' tennis coach for something more than 30 years, and then girls' tennis coach also for more than 30 years. As a matter of fact, he was Windsor High School's only girls' tennis coach from its inception. They never had girls' tennis until the early 70s, until 2005. Like, of the people who were the first at their schools of girls' tennis coaches, he was probably the last one still standing. He left in 2005. And, well, the sad part of the story is that, he left us shortly thereafter, 2007. It was January of 2007. And even back to 2005, like, this is why he stopped coaching. He would have just done it forever. But he had cancer, and it really slowed him down. And to me, like, the last 2 years of his life were not very fun for him, of course, and anyone around him. But that was like the last time I remember doing things with my dad. Like, we didn't do a whole lot in 06, let's just say. Got to do a lot of talking, though. And I learned some of the stories I just shared with you. I learned during that time, because we knew we didn't have much of it left. I pieced this together later, too. I was worried about, like, geez, I'm turning into my dad. Look, everybody does. Every dude turns into their dad eventually. And I imagine girls probably turn into their moms. I embrace it. I embrace it now. I used to fear it. I embrace it now. And I look at my life and it's like, oh my God, I really did become him. I got the same gig, like, public school teacher. I got the same setup. It's like me, wife, child, like a masculine child. And we both have one son. And we go about our daily lives as a school teacher during the day. And then, you know, one of those rules that my father taught me, not in so many words, it's like, never let work get in the way of your hobbies. And oh man, he had a bunch, you know, playing with cars and playing tennis. And for me, it's music and I don't know, recording podcasts. And yeah, your job is just your job. Hopefully it lets you have enough time with your family and your hobbies and the thing you enjoy doing. Like, give it all at work, but then you can set work aside, spend time with your family, because that is important too. That's the more important thing. And, those life lessons I've detailed before, and I usually bring those out around Father's Day, and, well, that's coming up too. I learned from the best, you know, as being a father myself, and being a man. Father, teacher, and as a citizen of this world. And I'm going to talk about the guy that he learned from next week. It'll be the anniversary of my grandfather's birthday, Morris O'Connell, next Friday. And tune in then to hear about that and to hear more Math and Musings. In the interim, well, to hear more Math and Musings, you can head to MikeO'ConnellJr.com.